What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Alrighty, well, happy Monday. Yeah, welcome to the program. Pete Callender here, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Donald Trump getting off easy, only having to come up with $175 million in 10 days rather than the $500 million that was due today. By the way, $175 million is still more than anybody actually lost in his, quote, crime. So this is just in. A court has decided that he does not need to come up with the entire $450 or $60 million, whatever it was, that was due today as part of that the case brought in New York about the overvaluing or the lying on the loans, and where the banks were like, no, we did our due diligence and, yeah, we didn't lose any money and he's a good earner. Well, they didn't say he's a good earner. That's kind of mafia talk, but he was fine. He was a whale, big fish, big account. We were happy to have him in our portfolio. There was no victim here. So $175 million, which I'm sure if he was scraping together the money for $450 today, I'm sure he's probably amassed $175 at this point. So there's that. What else do we have? Another piece of breaking news as we're getting ready to come on the air today. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, has canceled White House talks on Rafah, which is the area near the border crossing with Egypt from Gaza. That's the Rafah area, and this is where everybody had been ordered to vacate to, right, when they were fleeing the northern part of Gaza during the initial military response after the October 7th massacre. And so now they're moving down into Rafah, where a lot of the Hamas jihadis have set up shop. It's where they remain. And so now Israel is going down into that area. And the United States has been like, you better do it like without killing anybody and all this. And so the Israelis were going to be coming to the White House, if I remember correctly. They were going to come to America and they're going to have some discussion about it and all to placate Joe Biden's domestic base, right? His pro-jihadist base. And because Joe's in trouble. So he needs to take a tough line on Israel because that's what the pro-jihadist base in the Democrat Party wants. And so, I know. It's pro-Palestinian. Okay. So he's got to take this hard line. And so that means that the United States abstained from a UN Security Council resolution that called for a ceasefire through Ramadan while calling for release of Israeli hostages. So there was it's calling for it. It's calling for a ceasefire, and it's calling for the release of the hostages, and the United States abstained. Netanyahu's spokesperson said, quote, this retreat hurts the war effort as well as the effort to free the hostages because it gives Hamas hope that international pressure will allow them to get a ceasefire without freeing our hostages. Which is exactly correct, by the way, right? If all you're going to do is to demand a ceasefire and call for the release of the hostages, like, no, the ceasefire is contingent. You release the hostages, you get the ceasefire. But actually, it's not just release the hostages. It's also surrender. Surrender the masterminds and the participants in the October 7th massacre, right? Because Israel's been very clear about this, that there is no what happens next, one-state solution, two-state solutions, river to the sea, whatever. None of that happens with Hamas still around. And you may not like that as, you know, pro-Palestinian, but your opinion on this no longer matters after October 7th. It just doesn't. That's what the Israelis, and that's not me saying that. That's the Israelis. That's the people that live there. They are done with your crap. They're done with it. They were like, hey, you know what? You want to live over there, live separately. That's great. That's fine. Whatever. They're bringing people over. In fact, many of the people that were targeted for the slaughtering and the torturing and the setting on fire and the beheadings and all of that, they were the ones. These were like your most lefty kinds of Israelis that were bringing Palestinians over. And those Palestinians that came over then drew up maps of the farm communities, these kibbutzes, these communes. They drew up the maps and handed them off to Hamas so they would know where to go to massacre people. So they're done. They're freaking done with you. So whatever happens next has to happen without Hamas. And until there's a recognition there among the crowd that has been declaring that we got to have a ceasefire immediately, think of the women and children. Yeah, Hamas should have thought of the women and children. Actually, they do. They do think of the women and children. They think of them like, where can we position them so they die, so then we can use that international pressure in order to get what we want. That's the MO. That's the strategy. It always has been. This is not new. Anybody who's been covering the Middle East and Hamas for the last 20 years knows this. But we're all supposed to pretend this doesn't exist. Josh Krauschar, on Twitter, I think he's the editor-in-chief of Jewish Insider. He's also a political analyst. And he says, he has a quote from the White House national spokesman, John Kirby, who says, quote, our vote does not, and I repeat, that does not represent a shift in our policy. White House national security spokesperson Kirby told reporters, we've been clear and we've been consistent in our support for a ceasefire as part of a hostage deal. The Israeli prime minister's office said after the vote, quote, the U.S. retreated from its consistent stance in the U.N. Security Council that only a few days ago tied a ceasefire to the release of the hostages, which China and Russia vetoed on Friday. All right, so they've been tying it before. Now, the Israelis say they've done that. That's a retreat from their position. Okay. Now, I don't know. Is this all theater? Maybe Biden and Bibi have had a phone call and they've talked about it and they know that, you know, hey, I got to do this thing. Don't worry, nothing's changing. But for, you know, public consumption, for the record, out there in the public, everyone's going to think that, you know, we're going wobbly on you, but I need to do this in order to shore up my base at home. So, you know, you just keep doing what you're doing, whatever. Like, this is best case scenario that I can come up with, which, by the way, is kind of very similar, don't you think, to the perfect phone call that Donald Trump had with Zelensky from Ukraine, where he was like, hey, I need you to do something in the Foreign Affairs Department, right? I need to sort of mess around with you, foreign country, because it's going to play well for my domestic base, right? Isn't that what Joe Biden is doing here too, along with the Chuck Schumer, demands for ceasefire and demands for new elections to be held? Aren't you also now kind of poking around in foreign elections in order to placate a base back home and improve your reelection chances? Literally the thing that the Democrats impeached Donald Trump over for Ukraine, they are now engaging in with Israel. I guess it's different when Democrats do it, right? What else do we got going on? I mentioned this on Friday because it was breaking news at the time. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene issued a statement this is according to her press shop, on the Republican-led House abandoning its promise to the American people. She said that when the Republicans took the majority in the House, we swore we would never pass a continuing resolution, and we swore we would never pass minibuses, not an omnibus, but a minibus. So a smaller, larger spending plan, right? Yet here we are, three continuing resolutions later, and a minibus and another minibus on the horizon next week, she says. She says, I voted no. That was on March 6th. Then March 11th, 5 days later. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene secures federal funding for 7 community projects in Northwest Georgia. She is proud to announce she has successfully secured federal funding for 7 different projects for Northwest Georgia through the annual community project funding request process. There you go. So while on the one hand, minibuses are bad, on the other hand, look at all the money that I got for my district. Oh, and by the way, we should throw out the Republican Speaker of the House, and we should have a new election when there's only a 2-vote majority among Republicans. What could go wrong? All right, it is tourney time, and it's also a good time to check out DraftKings Sportsbook, which is now live in North Carolina. You can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. You watching the basketball tournament games? Make bets as you watch and get fast and easy payouts. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props, which focus on an individual player and their performance within a specific game. Also, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time. I have a special promo for you as well. You download the DraftKings Sportsbook app on your phone or tablet and use the code PETE, P-E-T-E. You bet $5 and you get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code PETE. The crown is yours, King or Queen. But this is a limited time offer, so take advantage. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at draftkings.com/sportsbook/NC. Also, NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license. The email is pete@thepetecallinershow.com. And you can also hit me up on email, pete@thepetecallinershow.com. So tonight, every single Democrat voted against my amendment. Not me, actually. This is a quote from Bill Hagerty. He is a Republican senator from Tennessee. And he tweeted out early Saturday morning that every single Democrat in the Senate voted against his amendment that, quote, would stop Biden administration from using taxpayer dollars to charter flights for hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from their countries directly to American towns to be resettled. Indefensible. So this was part of the spending package. Now, one of the reasons why Democrats say that they did not take up any of these Republican amendments was because to do so would then force the bill to go back to the House, right? And so there's a legislative maneuver going on here as well. So yes, you have the standalone issue of the spending bill. You have the standalone issue of the Biden administration spending money to fly people from their home countries directly into American cities. We covered this story last week, right? So he's going after that. So you have that issue. And then you have the government shutdown that's occurring if you don't get the spending bill done. So all three of these things are kind of working at cross purposes to a large degree. And so I can understand the argument that, look, we're on a clock. You're running this bill does not help us beat the clock. And so for people who want to shut the government down, this becomes an easy thing to support, right? Even if I support the bill or the amendment, rather, I support the amendment. I don't think we should be funding these flights coming in, tacking the amendment on to the spending bill at the 11th hour or the midnightth hour means that you're not going to get the spending bill passed, which means the government's going to shut down. So again, if you are fine with the government shutting down, then you are going to be fine with doing this amendment and shutting it down while everybody hashes out the amendment and having this fight. Or if you don't want to see the government shut down, then you're going to have to say no to the amendment, right? And that's what happened. And that's their excuse, by the way, is that we couldn't shut down the government because that was their primary objective. Don't shut down the government. Okay. So this is what I went over last week when we were having the discussion about all of the votes in the House and the motion to vacate and all of that, right? If you are of the mindset that you want to shut the government down and you don't care about the electoral price that you might pay, right? Or you think it redounds to your benefit, right? Then obviously, the tactics that you endorse and that you propose are going to be aligned with that objective. Now, if you believe that shutting down the government is an electoral loser for you and that you're giving the Democrats and the media, but I repeat myself, more ammo to use against you and to cast you as, you know, the party that can't govern correctly, or you think there's an electoral price that you're going to pay, then you don't want to have that happen. So your tactics are going to align with that, right? What are your incentives? How are they aligned to these different objectives? Okay, so Hagerty announced earlier last week that he was going to be filing this amendment to the appropriations bill that would prohibit federal funds from being used to secretly fly illegal aliens from other nations directly into states across the country. The amendment was in response to recent news stories that reported the Biden administration flew an estimated 320,000 illegal immigrants from their home nations into the U.S. in 2023. Lawmakers voted down this amendment. It was a 51-47 vote. Every Democrat voted against the amendment. No Republicans did. The amendment was included in the late night vote to avoid the government shutdown. The House passed the $1.2 trillion government funding bill earlier Friday before making its way to the Senate, where lawmakers were in a standoff on whether to vote on amendments to the bill. I heard Mick Mulvaney, former chief of staff for Donald Trump, House Freedom Caucus guy, former congressman from the upstate here, or the Piedmont, I should say, of South Carolina. Well, I guess he was kind of upstate in Piedmont, but York County. And Mick was talking about how the deal that was cut for the funding package is no different under Mike Johnson or Kevin McCarthy. It would have been the same thing either way because the numbers. The numbers in the House, you don't have the ability, right, to do anything. And now everybody becomes the most important vote because the House is so evenly split. It's like Justice Kennedy on the Supreme Court. We talked about this last week, right? When you are the swing vote, you're the most powerful. And when you only have a 2-seat majority on the House, now every vote becomes that powerful. And you can kind of, yeah, you can try to extract all sorts of stuff. And again, the incentives for Marjorie Taylor Greene were aligned for her to file a motion to vacate. And I'm sure she's going to get lots of money on her fundraising circuit. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I got to ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? I do have a couple of messages here. Once again, Donald Trump, the roadrunner, escapes from the deep state. I call Wile E. Coyote. Wiley's been unsuccessful now for 7 years running. Beep, beep. I don't think so. Them telling him he's got 10 days to pay $175 million, I don't think is him getting away. Because he is appealing, and that's the key here. It's like it's just until the disposition of the case. Because he was having a problem. We went over this last week. Trump could not get anybody, an insurer, to underwrite or, you know, that kind of a bill. Because if he ends up losing on appeal, then he would have to kind of fork over as the collateral all the property. And the insurer's like, we don't want any of that. We're not in the real estate business. We don't want to have to deal with this commercial real estate. So they're not going to cut him a check for the $456 million. Plus, he's got a lot of other cases against him, you know? Anyway, so the $175 million is going to be way easier. And, you know, he was just, what they just said, that they're going to take the Truth Social platform public. So sounds like he'll be okay. But yes, it is kind of comical that, you know, the day that he's supposed to come up with the money. And I heard Vince Coakley saying that there are so many people on the left that think they're going to be the ones that administer the death blow to Trump, that all these leftists want to be the one to do that. So they will, you know, go down in history as the one to smite the orange, you know, goblin. And I don't know. Yeah, like I don't know if this is the best way to go about it. I don't believe it's the best thing for the country, but your mileage may vary on that. Okay, and I haven't seen that. All right, so I'm not gonna. That's a lengthy email. I will come back to that later. Let me get back to this story that appears in the at Fox News by Emma Colton about this effort that was there was an amendment run as part of the spending omnibus. Spending bill the other night over the weekend, and every Democrat in the Senate voted against this amendment that would bar taxpayer money from being used to fly illegal immigrants into towns and cities all around the country. And these flights are coming not from like border towns in America. They're coming from the unauthorized immigrants' home countries. They're getting on planes and they're flying in. And they're landing direct into America. The Senate voted 74 to 24 to fund the government through September, sending the bill to President Biden's desk, which he signed on Saturday. At least 7.2 million illegal immigrants have entered the U.S. under the Biden administration, which is greater than the population of 36 states. A report published by the Center for Immigration Studies, which is a nonpartisan think tank, found that the U.S. Customs and Border Protection has allowed secret flights to transport illegal aliens from Latin America to communities across the U.S. About 320,000 migrants were flown to 43 different American airports over the course of last year. Now, in my mind, and there was a book that I, well, I didn't read it. I listened to it on the audio tape, the books on tape. Day of Wrath by Dr. Bill Forsten. Very disturbing. And it talked about what would happen if there was a Beslan-type attack on America. And if you don't remember, Beslan was the school attack in Russia, probably about 15, 20 years ago, I want to say. A bunch of radical jihadists, Chechens, because everybody calls them Chechens, but they're Muslims. They're jihadists, okay? And they went into a Russian school, and they murdered hundreds of kids and school personnel. And a lot of the details about that attack were talked about in Dr. Bill's book, Day of Wrath. And the details are horrifying, absolutely sickening and disturbing and disgusting. And that has always been sort of in the back of my mind when I see the stories about, you know, school shootings and the like, but also these types of open border stories, because the people who are coming across are not all just women and children looking for economic opportunity. You know, there are a lot of military aged males that are coming in, and there have been reports from the Darien Pass, which is in central South America. It's the border region. You got to cross the Darien jungle and you get through the pass. And then you get on the buses and they take you to our border. And there's been reporting out of the Darien Pass of various men from different parts of the world that are obviously, you know, they're trained. A couple of them are doing, like, there was a bunch of Chinese men that were there that did some sort of a ritual sacrifice with some chickens, which is something that the People's Republic Army does. Or Liberation Army, is that what they call it? Ooh, by the way, have you seen this? The ads for this Netflix movie? It's by the creator of Game of Thrones, but it's about the Cultural Revolution in China. It's called the Three Body Problem. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, kudos to Netflix for even allowing this thing to be made and then to be distributed. I know this is not going to please the commies over in China, but this is the fight. This is collectivist This is the fight against collectivism. And there are so many Americans have no idea what occurred in China, why their government is the way it is, right? The struggle sessions. And that's what the clip that's circulating right now on social media. There's a clip of a very public struggle session. Anyway, so I'm really looking forward to watching that. We put it on the list. It's on the list. Anyway, so all of this, these stories about the open borders, in the back of my mind is always the story about Day of Wrath and the Beslan school shooting, or school massacre, rather. And then we saw over the weekend, right, the Islamic State attacked a concert in Russia. 140 people massacred there, I want to say. Kurt Schlichter, retired colonel in America, author, he's a columnist over at townhall.com. He wrote a book called The Attack, which is a very similar type of a story to Day of Wrath. He's got a piece today at townhall.com about this topic as well. I'll go over that in a minute. Retired Colonel Kurt Schlichter, townhall.com. He says, it happened in Israel, it happened in Moscow, and it's going to happen here in America again and exponentially worse. The jihadis' merciless war against the West did not end when the regime media started covering other things. See, by the way, the Muslim fanatics, they're not so finicky. They're not as finicky as we are about our distinctions between, like, the Jewish state, Russia, and, you know, we, the great Satan here. Right? To them, we're all the same, okay? All infidels. We may have fled Afghanistan and Libya and largely pulled out of Iraq, but that war is still going on. It's going to go on until we decisively win it. But unfortunately, our ruling class refuses to decisively win it. In fact, our ruling class actively undermines attempts to win it, and it refuses to prepare for what is coming. And that leaves you to prepare. You, the individual. You and your small community. You and your red state. You and your family. There is no one else who is going to help you. There will be a bloodbath here in America. It will dwarf what happened on 9/11. It'll dwarf what happened in Israel. It'll be Moscow times 1,000. And you're going to be caught in the middle of it. Now, you have to make the decision to be ready for yourself, for your community, and perhaps for your state if you live in one that's not run by leftist idiots. The enemy is not just coming. It's probably already here. Even Christopher Wray thinks so. And you know what it takes to get his attention away from arresting people taking selfies in the rotunda or praying at abortion clinics, right? The fact that Christopher Wray is aware of this indicates that, oh, wow, it's actually on the FBI's radar, as opposed to just like the latest report put out by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Our border has been pried wide open. There is nothing to stop these evildoers, to quote a George Bushism. There's nothing to stop them from coming in. And any rational person knows this and has known this. I've known this. You have too, right? So right now, it's up to us to fight what is called normalcy bias, right? This is why when people hear gunshots, they think it's firecrackers, right? Because the normalcy bias kicks in. And because you don't know what it is, or you don't want to know. Your brain is telling you, oh, it's got to be this other thing because that's what is normal. And it's not, right? This is why people who do like training either in self-defense or firearms or whatever, like you revert to your last level of training. Muscle memory, call it what you will. You revert to your last level of training. There was a story, there was a firearms instructor up in the mountains that I was friends with, and he talked about this story that remember back in the 80s, there was a couple guys, they went and robbed a bank or something in Florida, and they had like the bulletproof vests on, they had automatic weapons, rifles and stuff. Remember, they got in this big shootout with law enforcement, murdered a bunch of like FBI and local police and stuff, and they eventually were taken down themselves. But one of the things in the after action report that came back was that there were no shell casings in the area where the I believe it was the FBI agents were. And the reason was because when the agents would go and train, they would have to pick up their casings at the range. So they would, you know, they would fire and then they would pick up the casings, put them in their pockets, fire, pick up the casings. It became normal. It was routine. And when you go into a high pressure environment, like a shootout, right? Your body is going back to the last level of training, and these guys were going around and picking up casings and putting them in their pockets. There was another story told of these guys, these two partners who would they would practice. Two police officers, they would practice in like the locker room, getting changed into their uniforms. They would practice disarming one another with the gun. So you point the gun, you grab the gun, and you drop the magazine out, and so you practice the disarming. And they would do this every day as part of their training every single day. Well, what they would do is after they would disarm one another, they would hand the firearm back to their partner. And then one day out in the field, one of the cops disarms somebody, takes the gun away from him, drops the magazine, clears the chamber, hands the gun back to the guy. Right? It was not used against him, but like that's the point is, the things that you do over and over and over again become second nature. He says, we know what they are going to do, right? These jihadists. We know what they want to do. It's just hard to accept. Some of us see Muslim terrorists as insane because our minds don't work like theirs do. We don't want our minds to work like theirs do, right? How they think, how they act is completely alien to us. That's because as a culture, we are narcissists. We are self-absorbed. We are utterly unable to imagine that other people not only are not like us, but that they have no desire to be like us. They desire to rape and murder us, in fact. How do we know this? Well, because of their track record of, you know, raping and murdering us. The specifics of what will happen are beyond this column's depth, he writes. He's not going to go into it in this column. He's not going to lay out all of the horribles. He says he writes about it at length in his latest novel called The Attack, which goes into great detail on exactly how we are vulnerable and exactly how anyone with a bit of tactical knowledge and a dose of ruthlessness can shove a knife into the guts of the United States. This is what Bill Forstin's book did as well, Day of Wrath. He outlined the entire strategy, and you just completely collapse the society. And you don't need a lot of people to do it. We are vulnerable. We've seen them walk into packed venues in France, here in America at the Pulse nightclub, and now in Moscow. America has hundreds of thousands of packed venues, and what America needs is millions of packing Americans. He advises, buy guns, buy ammo, get trained, and be ready. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.